Praise God. Do you ever feel like Charlie Brown? In the midst of the Christmas decorations that have been up since Halloween, the Christmas songs that are stuck in your head, the lights, the shopping, the cookies, the parties. Do you ever want to just stand up and shout in exasperation like Charlie Brown? Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? I'm sure you've seen that classic TV special of Charlie Brown Christmas. It's been airing since 1965. That's not a bad run. Especially for a cartoon that was produced on a low budget and what was basically a last-minute production schedule for animation. I found some facts about Charlie Brown Christmas. It came about when Coca-Cola came looking for a Christmas special to sponsor for a holiday marketing campaign. The cartoon Peanuts was widely popular at that time, so they asked for a meeting and ideas. Peanuts creator Charles Schulz and the producers threw together an outline in one day, and the Coke executives went for it. And Schulz, he had some unorthodox ideas like a jazz soundtrack, a no laugh track, which was a staple in the TV shows of that era. Most of all, he was adamant, Charles Schulz, about the true Christmas story, that it would be presented complete with a scene read straight out of the Bible. The TV producers worried that it would be too controversial to read the Bible on a national television, but Schulz insisted. Controversial or not, you could say the show has done pretty well. And you've probably seen it a time or two yourselves. If so, you would know that in the movie Charlie Brown, he's surrounded by all the trappings of Christmas, but they all come up empty for him. And when he wonders aloud what Christmas is really about, his best friend Linus sets him straight with a clear answer straight out of Luke 2, 8 through 14. Linus recites a passage in one of the most poignant scenes in television history. We want to show it for you today.
They're hopeless, Charlie Brown. Completely hopeless.
Rats! You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it. What a treat! I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Your hope.
Isn't that beautiful? Thank you for coming today. Praise God. Oh, boy. Lord is so good. In those words, Charlie Brown, he finds hope. Think about it. It's where the whole Christmas experience turns for him, and good old Chuck realizes the true meaning of Christmas. He goes from depression by the season to be inspired by it. He goes from an inward focus of questioning to an outward focus of sharing the season with others. And today I want to invite you to hear the same words of hope as we enter into the season of Advent in expectation of Christmas. Over the next 4 weeks, we'll unwrap the gifts of Christmas as we journey through the Advent season. It's our chance to listen together as a church family, the stories, to remember the meaning of Christmas, and to wait in expectation for the arrival of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. The point really is not to get rid of the trappings and the traditions and the celebrations all around us, but to take a purposeful journey through them to more deeply experience the gifts of Christmas. Hope today, love next week, then peace and joy. So what exactly is Advent? For some, this concept may be new. You may know only Advent from a calendar with little windows that open, revealing a gift or a treat for each day of the month leading up to Christmas. But Advent is so much more than that. The word Advent actually means coming or arrival, and the season is marked by expectation. The season is marked by waiting and anticipation and longing. Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. It's a season that links the past, the present, and the future. Advent offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate His birth and to be alert for His second coming. Advent looks back at Christ's coming in celebration, and while at the same time looking forward in eager anticipation to the coming of Christ's kingdom when He returns for His people, showing us that hope is fulfilled in Jesus. And hope still to be completed in Jesus' second coming during Advent. We wait for both, active and assured waiting. And as part of the church calendar in many denominations, there are several differences in the way people celebrate the Advent. While the core is the same, some of the traditions and practices vary. One of the common traditions of Advent is the lighting of the candles on an Advent wreath. A circular evergreen wreath represents God's unending love for us. And you see two of them right here on the stage. The lighting of the 5 candles throughout the season, one for each of the 4 Sundays before Christmas and one on Christmas Eve, represents Jesus coming to a world lost in darkness. The prophet Isaiah wrote this: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." So as we celebrate with our own Advent wreaths this season, we will light an additional candle each week. Each flame brings us closer to the arrival of the true light of the world born in Bethlehem. And today I want to have 2 young men come up here. Justin and Dylan, they're going to do the first lighting. Powerful, man. Beautiful. That was powerful, you guys.
Let's hear it for this guy.
Isn't that beautiful? In a season often marked with frenzied busyness, Advent is an opportunity for us as a church family to set aside time to prepare our hearts, to help us place our focus, Ernie Karen said, on a far greater story than our own. The story of God's redeeming love for our world. It's not a season of pretending or covering up. It's a season of digging deep into the reality of what it means that God sent His Son into the world. It's a season of expectation and preparation, an opportunity to align ourselves with God's presence more than just the hectic seasons of presence. So wherever you are on your own spiritual journey, I invite you this season. It's a time that allows for questions and doubt and struggles as we take the time to prepare our hearts for Christ's coming. Advent is a celebration that God comes in the darkness and struggle as we take time to prepare our hearts for Christ's coming. Advent is a celebration that God comes in the darkness and the pain and the chaos. He comes and He makes a way. And as we unwrap each gift of Christmas over the next few weeks, my hope is that we discover together that we can trust in Emmanuel, which means God with us. He's bigger than our greatest expectation or our deepest pain. His light shines in the darkness and bids us to draw near. And as we do, we discover and realize the gifts He brings us. But more so, and most important, we discover Him. We discover Christ. In the first Sunday in Advent, we focus on hope. So let's start by looking at what we mean by hope. What statements do you typically hear people make that involve hope? I hope it doesn't rain. I hope I get the job. I hope the world will be at peace. I hope he gets better. I hope she shows up. I hope you fill in the blank. But did you notice the theme? Worldly hope is characterized by doubt. Worldly hope is characterized by uncertainty and a lack of control. And we hope for things that may or may not happen. But in Jesus, hope is guaranteed. A sure thing. Our hope is actually a no-so rather than a maybe-so hope. So let's unwrap this gift of hope by looking at hope past and hope present and hope future as we journey towards Christmas together. When you think about hope past and you ask the question, what is the longest you've waited for something? Is there something you've been waiting for your entire life? And when you study the scriptures, the people of Israel knew all about what waiting was. Their entire history was marked by waiting as they looked forward to the coming of a Messiah who would set them free. The Old Testament's full of prophecies about this Messiah. Here's an example, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will call him Emmanuel. Probably 700 years before it really happened, the prophet spoke that. There's another well-known prophecy from Isaiah that promises this: for us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called, and they give these four statements about Christ: a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace. So these and other prophecies give us a clear expectation of God's promised Messiah. Hundreds of years before the arrival of the Messiah, the promise didn't always make the wait easy. And as we prepare for Jesus' coming this Christmas, we share in the waiting of the people of Israel. Like them, most of us have situations and circumstances in our own lives that makes it difficult for us to wait on God. And like them, we still wait for the complete fulfillment of God's salvation to the world. Yes, many prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus' coming, but others are yet to be completed when he comes again. So what can purposeful waiting this Advent season do for us today? As we look back at the hope past and we gain confidence and renew our faith in God's promises for us. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So we can find confidence in the fulfillment of Christ's arrival and in all he has done in our lives. Isn't that what Thanksgiving is about? But we can also find assurance that there is much more to come, that God will complete his good work in you, in me, and that he will fulfill his promises to make all things new and complete in the end. So let this season for us be a journey of building confident hope as you wait, as we wait for his coming. Hope present. In the first chapter of Luke, we see Jesus' birth foretold again. But unlike the Old Testament prophecies, there's much more of a personal and intimate foretelling. The angel Gabriel appears to Mary and tells her about the coming of Jesus. And here's the verses. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, the Bible shares. The virgin's name was Mary, An angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled of his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And in verse 30, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.'" In verse 34, How will this be, Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, and he will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible to God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. So today, in the midst of life questions, do you ever find yourself wishing that Gabriel would just show up to you and let you know what to expect? And I mean, wouldn't it be easier just to know? Well, maybe. But in Mary's case, perhaps it would have been easier not to know. What do you do with information like this? Mary was given a direct message from the angel Gabriel, but even and maybe especially then it took faith to her to place her trust and hope in God. And thankfully, Mary responded in faith and held fast to the hope of the promise of Emmanuel, which means God with us. Today, as we begin this Advent, we know and hold fast to that hope. Jesus has come and made a way for us to be one with God through His forgiveness of our sin. His coming changes everything. And as you sit here today, the present hope you hold on to may not seem to be changing things. Your heart and mind may be flooded today with concerns and stresses and the hardships that you face today. Any signs of change in your circumstance may be slim to none. But that doesn't mean change isn't happening. That doesn't mean God isn't working behind the scenes inside other people or situations. It doesn't mean that He isn't working inside our hearts to teach us and shape us, regardless of what the outward results look like in any given moment. We can find hope in the words of Hebrews 6:19. It says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." Our present hope in Jesus doesn't stop the storms of life. It doesn't change the immediate situations that we're facing. But like an anchor that holds a ship steady against the wind and against the waves, our hope holds us firm and secure in the midst of life's storms. Let this season be one of a secure hope in the midst of whatever storms you're facing today. Number three, hope future. While our focus leading up to Christmas is naturally on the birth of Jesus and His arrival in our world, Advent is also about the future. That's what I want to get across. Advent is not just about preparing our hearts for Christmas, but also about preparing our hearts when Christ comes again. And maybe you find that waiting patiently for that second coming of Jesus is even harder than waiting for Christmas. We long for that time where we'll all be restored and made new. We experience the pain and suffering today, and we wait in eager hope for the future. That is where hope lies, that the baby who was born in a stable in Bethlehem will return again and complete the work of God in our world. And so we wait, placing our hope in Him for the past, the present, and the future. It's a bigger picture of our faith and for God's plans for our world. The Apostle Paul explained it this way in Romans. He said, "For this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what we already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. It's hard for us to be patient. It's hard for us to wait. But I encourage you to lean in and unwrap the gift of hope today. No matter what the department stores try to tell you, Christmas has not yet arrived. This Advent, this season of preparation, waiting, and expectation, there's value as well as excitement and patient and unexpected waiting. May this be a season of wonder as you discover the gifts Jesus offers to you this Christmas, which is hope, love, joy, and peace. If the ushers have come forward. Praise God. You bow your heads for a moment. And pray, God, thank you for this season of Advent, that we can unwrap your gift of hope. Help us to remember hope past. Hold tightly to the hope in our present realities and wait with expectation for the hope to be fulfilled when Christ comes again. Come on forward, you guys. I know I'm messing with you today. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I ask you to bless our offering today. Father, I pray that you just bless the rest of this service, Father, as I just want to open up about how much I love you, Lord, and how much I love everyone that's seated here. Bless our offering today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. As we're closing today, I just want to point out a couple things for you. That we have this gift of Christmas book for you. It's a devotional book. As you leave today, you will be handed one. If you look in your listening guide right now, I want you to pull out this salmon colored sheet. Because this is like an invitation for you. There's many times when the staff is getting together and just, you know, praying, just seeking God, the elders getting together and seeking God. How can we get more people plugged into God? How can everybody who walks through that door, what can we do to disciple them? What can we do to get them connected to the things of God? And the answer usually comes in small groups. If you look at this sheet, I'm asking you, we would love for you to attend one of our adult community groups for 3 Sundays. And I'm talking about December 4th, December 11th, and December 8th. During those Sundays, each group will be going over the daily devotionals corresponding to the message given. So in this book right now that you will get on your way out is a devotion, like 10 minutes. Every day there's 7 devotions that corresponds with the message of hope. So as you go through that 10 minutes every day and look at the devotion in there, they'll probably ask you a question in there. And when you come back next Sunday, we're asking you to come back, be a part of a group for an hour from 9:30 to 10:30. We're asking you to do that for 3 weeks. What I would like you to do now is say, yes, I'm going to come. And I want you to take this prayer sheet out. I want you to write your name on there and say, yes, I'm going to come to a community group because I want to get you plugged in before you come so you know what group you're going to be at. And at this time, I would like the community group leaders to come forward here so I can brag about you. Ernie, Eric, I don't know if I saw Sarah, but Callie's going to come and represent that group today. Isn't that beautiful? Kevin, come up. There's a guy named Jim Sabia that leads a group. Praise God. So I just want you to see them and realize that we have a face behind these community groups. I want to thank these community groups for all they're doing. We're still missing somebody. Must have been Kevin. Yeah, Kevin. Well, we'll grab him. He'll come out here. Praise God. So here are the people that lead the community groups. All right, so I want you to write down on here, you know, yeah, I'm going to show up for 3 weeks. I'm going to take 3 hours out of my month and spend it with a community group. Praise God. So do that. Y'all like to share anything, man, as I put you on the spot? Praise God. So 3 weeks. Go ahead, Jim. Here, let me give you. Hey.
Just kind of a come as you are. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Just come as you are. I mean, I'm a work in progress. It's kind of humbling to be standing here, but we're all works in progress. So, yeah. You know, it's really, don't be intimidated if it sounds scary. Just come as you are. Hang out with us. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And it's just really people trying to get to know each other and, you know, just kind of, I guess, let the Lord work through that, like, on each of us. So, anyway, I just kind of felt led just to share. It's just come as you are. It's not a, it's a pretty easy thing to do to get connected, at least into my group. I don't know about.
Not mine. I do want to say we will be having food at our next.
All right. There you go.
Melissa
love
just
her.
Told me that, so whatever it takes.
That's beautiful. Eric's group meets in the nursery, last room on the right. Jim is in here. Ernie has a young crowd. Sorry, man. I don't mean Ernie. We don't know what to call them, but the Joy Club, just older youth. Come and meet with Ernie and his wife, Kathy. They lead a group in the first room on the right, and you can talk to Regina. You can talk to Lois. You can talk to people that are a part of his group every week. Shelby, it's beautiful. And then Callie, her and her sister Sarah lead a young adult group, and they meet in the conference room. They have the cool wooden table and stuff in there. So come and be a part. And Kevin, he leads a group that's in the fellowship hall right here. So just make that commitment. On your way out, you'll be handed a book by Holly. Holly, raise your hand back there. Look at Holly. I'm a dead. Praise God. She will give you the book. I advise you. Yes. I'd advise you to put your name in the book, because for some reason, every book looks the same. And if somebody leads one, you know what I mean, then we can get it back to you. One other thing before we close here today, and you guys can have a seat if you want. I don't mean to embarrass you. Thank you. Let's hear it for the community group leaders. Seriously. They do a fantastic job leading people. I tell you, that's how you get connected, by getting in a group. That's how you make friends. That's how you do life together. When tragedies come or joyful things come, you have a group of people that you can celebrate with and do life with. And can I tell you, when I walk in that community group every week, I get blessed, because you get to hear people share what God has been showing them. You get to, you know, make a difference and have a family. The last thing I want to talk about is CORE. This is our membership discipleship series. We're offering it for the next two Wednesdays. It's a best thing we can do is disciple people. You'll learn about salvation. You'll learn about baptism. You'll learn about the community. You'll learn about the Bible. You'll learn about prayer. You'll learn about spiritual gifts. You will learn so many things. Just meeting in 2 weeks, it'll be unbelievable. So if you would like to be a part of CORE, because I want to put your name on the front of the book, because I think I'm cool when I do that, put that on this sheet as well. Yes, I would like to attend CORE. It's the next two Wednesday nights, 6:30 to 8:30, for 2 hours. We'll get together. You'll have your book. We'll learn a lot. We'll go through things. You even learn about your personality in CORE. You even learn about your gifts. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. So praise God. Keith, come up and close us. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for the beautiful babies we got to dedicate. Oh, my gosh. Madeline Georgia Reagan. Praise God. Shelby Esme. Is it Esme or Esme? Esme. Isn't that beautiful? Marina, go ahead, bro.
Well, for the past few weeks, I always get picked to close in prayer, and I my brain goes in a million different directions. So I was prepared this morning because we're always supposed to be prepared for the reason we have for Christ Jesus. And it's also praying scripture. How can you go wrong praying scripture? So we are going to pray in Romans 15. And to plug men, we're doing a Romans study on Saturday mornings. See Steve Gardner. It has been an awesome, eye-opening, unbelievable. Ernie has been doing a couple sessions, and it's just been a fantastic study. Those who have been there can testify to that. So let's pray. Father, we're so grateful to be able to gather and to dedicate little children and to begin to understand and or be reminded of hope. So I want to pray now. Now, we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength, and not just to please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. Thanks, guys. Great to see you. See you next week.